it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
You are the voice. It's SENZ and it's 0800 150 811. 150 811 0800 at the front of that. Dino, good morning to you.
Morning, Philly. First, I'd just like to wish the Phoenix all the very, very best. Like, it's always good to see a New Zealand team doing incredibly well in Australian competition because you know how tough those competitions are to even make a final, let alone win a final. So just hope everyone gets in behind them and they fill up the biscuit box and it's real, like it's a fortress. It just needs to be there for them to carry on. They're good enough, so let's hope so. But on the rugby, I had a quick look through the draw that comes for me. I've got 9 games that I think are really, really important, but I think the Crusaders win the next 7. I'm watching the Hurricanes in the weekend. I thought, yep, Canberra's tough, but they named a very, almost their full strength side, and they were never in it. So that worries me going into playoff rugby. The Chiefs without Damien, yeah, they're not the same. And the Blues, that defence and that Reds game, whilst it was great for people to watch on TV that loves seeing bull rush rugby, it was rubbish. Like, how often did Mark Talia get beat on the inside? That's an all-black wing. That's a schoolboy mistake. Show that wee fella the sideline, smash him. Pretty simple. Mm. Beaten on the inside about 2 or 3 times. Great running rate. Like Caleb Clark, unreal, but still given the inside. The defensive lines of the players from both teams at that level was nothing short of appalling. Like, their breakdown today is going to be what he is thinking. You're not going to hold the Crusaders out defending like that. And we know come quarterfinals, and I think they'll get 7th, so you don't want to get 2nd. They're going to have a mighty strong team that's got experience, been there, done that. Yeah, they looked good. Like, to hold whoever it was to nil, that's defence. Defence wins titles.
Mm. Well, they had held the Rebels to nil, as you say. We had Campbell Burns on before, and so often when they've gone to that playoff side of things, they know they've been playing at home. Having home advantage from 7th, you think that's a factor?
No, because when they had the earthquake, they didn't have anything at home, and they still went on, and didn't they win it? Well, they went real close, I can't remember. But no, it doesn't affect them. They're the one team that they don't care where they play. It's just dirt. As soon as our players get through their skull, it's just dirt the better, but they've got that. Poor old Highlanders, like, I don't know, where's Tufai to stay? We got to go to Apia or somewhere. I don't know. We play Moana this week. That's one of the games I got written down. Like, the Highlanders could get 8. But if we got to go to Apia, wherever that stadium is, that's a big ask. Like, you know what I'm saying there. Like, they'll be good at home. They should be at home. I don't understand why they haven't had all their home games in Apia like the Druid. Like, to me, it doesn't make sense. I don't get it, but hopefully we can get. We'll struggle there. If that is in Apia, they'll be tough. They'll be very, very tough. But there's some cracking games coming up that are going to affect where teams sit. But I think I've read down 9 that I think are really, really important. And that Blues Crusaders one on the 25th. That's Crusaders Blues, right? That's in Christchurch. That'll be huge. And then the Blues Chiefs. It's going to decide who gets that 7th. No one's going to want 7th. I mean, 2nd. There might be some results go. B teams go out of something because you don't want 7th or 6th, 2nd. You don't want to play the Crusaders at all until the final. You've got to be in the final to win the final. So you've got to work out how you can get there. You don't want to see that black and red jersey, I'm afraid. You just don't want to see it.
No, I think you're right, Dino. Absolutely right. And I totally believe, seen enough of the Crusaders. I've been down to that ground and seen on that big lighting tower their record at the stage of the season, and there's enough of them. There's enough of them floating around, and you know, and the group, and they've been written off so many times this season. They're starting to look very, very dangerous. Cheers for your call, man. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, I wanted to ask you about how you've seen the transformation in the game. You know, like, obviously that period that we were playing was amateur. That you spoke about those sort of glory years with Canterbury. man, it was cool, wasn't it? Ranfurly Shield games at Lancaster Park, 30, 35,000 people watching. Then the games turned pro, which you're just a slight part of. Where now do you see the game sitting? Do you have concerns for it?
Not necessarily concerns for it. I don't really know. It's just completely different. I don't even know if I understand it anymore. There's just so many technicalities, and there's so many, you know, especially with what I find frustrating is the send-off rule, where, you know, you're just getting players binned so regularly now, and it absolutely, you know, so many red cards, and they absolutely affect the result of the game. That's what sort of concerns me a wee bit with it. I don't know, and I suppose I got to the point where I just got rugbyed out, and I just couldn't be bothered sort of a few years ago, and I couldn't really be bothered watching it anymore. But that is not to say that, I suppose, here in Canterbury, once we get that sort of that new stadium up and running, I'm sure it's going to take off again. So really looking forward to that as a Cantabrian.
Shane Philpott there, talking to Watto and Marshy yesterday in the afternoon, and one of the many players who played the game at a different era and are starting to ask questions about where it's actually gone to, and has it gone to a good place, and hoping like hell that the new stadium in Christchurch will engender interest. Well, of course it will, because there'll be the novelty factor of the stadium itself, and you would imagine the Crusaders will have rebuilt in terms of their playing strength, and you know, there'll be a hell of a franchise as well to be as a home base there. But that was his thoughts on that. So that's former players talking about it. What are you feeling about it in that respect? Just having a look at the performance of your side over the weekend, whoever it was, the Blues, the Chiefs. Chiefs fans pretty quiet at the moment, but still lingering in fourth, after being one of the favourites going into this particular super competition. And Hurricanes fans, you worried at all about what you saw at the weekend, or was everyone just allowed a little bit of a blip on the radar? Sam, interesting to talk to about the NRL over the weekend, and we will be talking to Vossi after 11 o'clock, and I asked the question whether the Sharks, for you now, after scoring 82 points in the last 2 weeks and conceding just 6. I mean, that is the kind of dominating performance that premiers are made of.
You got to put your foot on the throat to be a champion side. If you don't get by scraping wins all the time, you need to show some dominance, which is why it feels like a while ago now, 3 or 4 weeks ago, everyone got excited about seeing the Warriors put the Rabbitohs to the sword. They took advantage of a team that was struggling and did the job. Now, the way the Sharks are playing, they can't do any more than what they've had. That said, I thought the Raiders were woeful yesterday. Absolutely woeful. They weren't given a contest. We talked about this last week, Smithy. I said, look, this could go either way. The scoreline suggests anything else, but the Raiders just did not step up. And it was Ricky Stewart's 500th game as an NRL coach. I would have thought that kind of thing would light a fire playing at home. But, man, you mentioned it before about Nicho Hynes. The way that he's going right now, it's what's won him a Dally M before. It's why people say, oh, he should be an Origin. He should be this and that. He is masterful when his team is on the front foot. And that's what they are right now. I definitely think the Sharks, as you mentioned earlier in the show, the Sharks are there towards the end of the year. I don't know why, and I can't break it. Right now, I can only really see three teams that go, do you know what? Four teams that are real chance of winning the title. That is the Panthers, of course. The Roosters, when they are on, are as deadly as any side in the competition. They were magnificent against the Dragons. And I put the Storm and the Broncos in there. The Warriors haven't done anything to say that they should be there on current form, and there's a long time to go in this season. But those are the four teams. I can't see a premiership winner outside of those right now.
No, I can't either. I really can't. And as optimistic as I am about the Warriors, it's all very well to say they're close and the margins of defeat have been small, but the trend can't continue. It just simply cannot continue, because they sit at the moment outside the eight. Some people will say, well, you know, they're only a win from being inside the eight. They're only 3 points away from being last.
Yep, 3 points from fifth and 3 points from 17th. Absolutely. It's a huge 3 weeks on the road they've got coming up against the Newcastle side that inexplicably played itself back into form against the Dragons just yesterday. Great stat that I heard over the weekend. Do you know that they haven't won in Queensland against any Queensland team since 2015? The Knights. So it was not only were they up against that history, they did it without Caelan Ponga, who's unquestionably their best player and their linchpin. But it's Armstrong, who slotted in at fullback, was excellent in his place. But the Warriors really need to get something out of the next 3 weeks because nothing isn't going to work. But we should point out, right, that the Warriors traditionally and certainly last year under Webster can go on a run towards the back end. I think it was, 10 wins, 3 losses in the last 13, something like 10 or 2. So they know how to get the job done at the back end previously, but you've got to be giving yourself the right opportunities now. And the Titans and the Dragons both stepped up in a big way against the Warriors and played very well. That said, the Warriors playing well should have been able to handle that. They're not playing anywhere near their capacity, and they know that.
No, they're not. But, you know, been around sport long enough to know that there comes a time, and the time for them is coming sooner rather than later. I mean, they're going to have a season now where they're going to have two crunch periods. This is one, and then, of course, if they make the playoffs, then it becomes another crunch as well. But this is it. I mean, you know, Roosters are so unpredictable. You couldn't know. You wouldn't know which Roosters team is going to turn up. So they're back-to-back away from home here. To me, this one against the Knights is so, so crucial. It really is. But they just have got to play 80 minutes. You know, they're playing 15 magnificently. 15 magnificently. They're bookending the game. It's the meat. It's the meat and the sandwich, which is, you know, which great sides and championship-winning sides are so good at. It's just those middle periods where they just switch off. It looks like they switch off.
The intensity hasn't been there. The decision-making hasn't been to the standard that you would expect or they would expect from their side as well. So that's both on attack and defence. So absolutely, has to be shown up. The fact of the matter is where they're falling apart is consistent. They're consistently going off to good starts. Start goes all the way back to the game against the Sharks in round one. Consistently getting into good starts, and then in that middle period of the first half, if they haven't got enough points, if the pressure hasn't turned into enough points, it gives the opposition enough of a fillip to go, we know we're going to get a chance, and we'll come here. So if you are predictable in that context, if the opposition know that this is the time to put pressure on, it comes with pressure. I rewatched the Titans game for my sins, Smithy, the errors are definitely they're not up to a team who's going to finish in the eight. You don't make those errors on a regular basis, but every error they made is also eminently fixable. But they can fix where they are. They're playing a style of game that requires putting pressure on, and when they do that, they're great. But if they're letting teams out of their red zone too easily, or if they're not completing their sets with enough gusto, then that doesn't work. So it's up to them. That they know their structure. It's up to them to pull through. We've seen it click in a competition like the NRL. I mean, people who are putting a line through the Warriors already, you kind of need your head read. That's not this competition. You are right. This is a crucial game in a crucial period. But the NRL doesn't work like that.
No, the NRL doesn't work like this, but sport does. And sport's interesting in this regard, in that sometimes we get so enamoured and so keen on the one team, which in this case is the Warriors, you actually forget about the other team and the strengths of the other team. And when you just get so fully encompassed in your own charges, your own guys and your own personalities, you actually fail to give credit to some of these sides that they're coming up against now who have had proud histories. And, you know, they have been there at the business end. I mean, these two sides coming up, Newcastle, okay, a lot of change in personnel, but the Newcastle club as such, going to the Newcastle club, is going to a club which has had some seriously great players over the years.
Absolutely.
Then you go to the Roosters. We all know about the Roosters. But if we tend to be so blanketed on our view about the Warriors, and I'm sure the coaching staff doesn't treat it that way, because often you hear coaching staff and senior personnel saying it's not about it's about us. You know, we've got to be looking at what we can do. Well, mate, I don't always look that way. I mean, when I played against top-ranked sides, we always looked at the opposition and how we're going to get them out and how we're going to beat them as a collective and how we're going to deny their bowlers. And we spent a lot of time on the opposition, as opposed to when you get to the top level, it's almost expected that you'll be ready. But ready for what?
You've got to mention as well that the third game in that block is against the Panthers, which is a home game, except it's magic round, and the NRL loves to have the Warriors, quote-unquote, at home for magic round. But that said, there won't be a solitary person who isn't directly a Panthers fan who wouldn't be cheering for the Warriors in that regard. So they will get a really good home ground vibe. It's not Go Media Stadium. It's not the Warriors faithful kind of style, but that would be a monstrous game too. And it's, you know, no one goes into a game against the Panthers as favourites, do they? So it'll be a struggle no matter what. But what do you think of those three games? If they jag one, are you comfortable enough to go, okay? If they jag two, right, I've faith renewed? Or where is your stance? Well, obviously, none from three is a near disastrous situation to be trying to find their way out of.
Look, I'm comfortable two from three. I think beating the Panthers even now is a bonus. But it's on. It's on, you know, the proper Warriors, the 80-minute Warriors can beat the Panthers. No problem at all. We don't have a problem there. But at the moment, I find that those other two games, as much for the Warriors mentally, as much for the rest of the season, I think they're two crucial ones, because, you know, what is their record in the last 11 games or 12 games? It's overwhelmingly against them.
Yep, three this year with one draw. They obviously had one finals win and lost their last game of the regular season last year. So they had two finals defeats and that game against the Dolphins, which, you know, in context, they did give everyone who mattered a rest for that game, right? But still, it's a loss in the record books. So, you know, they haven't had the results that you would expect. They're still getting the turnout. I'll tell you what I'm really intrigued by, Smithy, what the turnout is for the Dolphins game in a month's time. Whether off the back of these next 3 weeks and the last couple of results, whether they're still getting large crowds, sellouts or otherwise, but large crowds. And I think they've hooked enough people in for the ride for it. But it is there's a lot of people ready to put the boot into the Warriors and wanting, you know, not willing them to fail, but ready to say, well, look, they're overhyped. We've seen that already. So it's, you know, it's up to them to, they control their destiny in that front.
I haven't met anyone who's come away from a Warriors game that hasn't enjoyed the experience. So they've got that on their favour in terms of their crowds. So even if they're not on a great winning streak, or they're struggling and people are starting to lose a little bit of optimism in terms of the postseason, I don't think that'll affect the crowds for a while. I really don't, because it's the experience. It's been such a hard ticket to get that if the opportunity for some of those tickets arises to come and go, I think even a Warriors side that might be struggling will still go very close to selling out. I think because it's become such a culty thing. I notice what isn't so prevalent this year is up the Waz. I mean, we were playing it, you know, every day we were playing up the Waz, the catchy little tune. And have you noticed that? Sam was always taking it for granted now.
I think people are kind of referring to them as the Waz more than they are than they used to. But I think the up the Waz, where put it this way, my young fella wears his Warriors gear where he can up and down the street, and wherever we are, someone will say up the Waz to him all the time. You know, so it's still there, right? It's bubbling under. But it was last year, it was a movement, right? And it's kind of like Let's Go On Warriors. And I said to at the time, Let's Go On Warriors was this huge saying that everyone would love to say for a while. But that stuff gets, it was organic marketing, but it's their marketing slogans, right? They don't last forever. You know, every good organisation, be it whatever business you want, changes their approach and slogans and whatnot. the Waz comes out thick and fast when there's a reason to. If the Warriors go on a run again, you'll be getting up the Waz, up the Wazoo.
Up the Wazoo. Speaking of up the Wazoo, I can tell you in the Zurich Classic, which is the latest PGA event on the tour, it's a foursomes and four-ball event, so you have partners. Ryan Fox and his partner, Garrick Higo, from the Republic of South Africa, are going to have a top five finish on the back of a remarkable last 2 days where they've shot 65-65. So that's outstanding. It's 14 under. And for that reason, they finished at 23 under, and they will finish at least fourth, get a decent check and a number of points, which Ryan's needing at the moment. At the moment, there's the first hole of a playoff between Chad Ramey and his partner, Martin Traynor, and they're up against the Irish favourites of Shane Lowry and, of course, Rory McIlroy. And at the moment, I'd say it's advantage to the Irish, advantage to the Irish. We'll keep you posted with that. But quite on the call board this morning, but that's fine. People keeping their thoughts to themselves, don't mind that at all. It is coming up to 10:20. We've got George Simon. He's got plenty to talk about racing over the weekend and the passing of an absolute giant in the game. Very shortly.